There's so many times when we'd like to have the right answers. Amen? I mean, so much comes across our path. Jesus said we'd have tribulation. James talks about we're going to have trials. And how many would you like to know the right answers and you know the answer before you even know the problem? Have that available to you. Well, you can know that. You can know that. And I want to talk to you tonight about wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 4, if you turn over there, the fourth chapter of wisdom. I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father. Give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live.'" Get wisdom, verse 5. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. We're going to stop right there. The wisdom of God is the Word of God. The wisdom of God is God's know-how. There's such a thing as man's wisdom, and we're going to look at that. But God's wisdom is His knowledge and how to apply it. And if anybody would know how to apply His knowledge, it would be Him. And so His word is His wisdom. When he said back in verse 4, "Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth." Well, the words of God's mouth, He's recorded for us. And he goes on to say, "Don't forsake her, she'll preserve you. Love her, she'll keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom." Meditating on God's word is the basic law for establishing your heart. I'll say that again. That's worthy of writing down. Meditating on God's word, it's the basic law for establishing your heart. When we meditate on the word of God and get it into our heart, it will establish us, it will keep us, and it does all these things that Proverbs chapter 4 talks about. Verse 13 says, "Take firm hold of instruction. Don't let go." Well, where do we find the instruction of God? We find it in His word. It says, "Take firm hold." So that implies I have something to do here. I have a part to play. We're partakers of the goodness of God, so we have a part to take. Amen? The next part in verse 13 says, "Keep her." Keep what? Keep the instruction. Keep the word. For she is your life. So if, as I started out saying, we have questions in life that, you know, come along every so often, probably every day for some people, every week. And we want to know the answers. But we don't just want to know man's answer. We want to know God's answer because His answer is the right answer. Amen. Man's words can be good, but God's word is the truth. And nothing changes the truth. Nothing moves the truth. You need to line up your understanding and your words with the Word of God. And that will keep you established. And so turn back to the first chapter of Proverbs. Start right back at the beginning. Now that you know where we're going. And in verse 2 it says, "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Look at verse 5 here. A wise man. So who would a wise man be qualified as? One who has found God's wisdom. A wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Now that verse 5, I like how the Amplified brings it out. It says, the wise also will hear and increase in learning, and the person of understanding will acquire skill and attain to sound counsel so that he may be able to steer his course rightly. God's wisdom, God's word is going to direct our paths. I quoted that over in Proverbs chapter 3. When you take heed to it, he will direct you. He will show you where to go. He will show you how to do things. And that's what we want to talk about tonight, is the how-to. The how-to of doing things. That's wisdom. Godly, supernatural how-to. That's what wisdom is. It's supernatural. It's not man's wisdom. It's God's wisdom. So we're going to have to discern godly wisdom, not just in our mind and in our intellect. That's not where we get that. We're going to get that in our spirit man. Now, it will come to our mind, our carnal mind, because we have the mind of Christ. And so when we draw that out of our spirit man, when we get those things from God in our spirit man, he's going to bring them to our mind. We're going to know now how to use them in the natural world. And a lot of times you're going to have to communicate with other people on this planet. So you're going to have to do that not with the way you received it in your spirit, because natural man won't understand it. They won't know what you're talking about. So it's going to have to kind of go through the computer process of your spirit man and come into our soulish realm. Are you still with me? Okay. Turn with me to Ephesians, if you would, in the first chapter. Again, we're talking about God's wisdom, or God's supernatural know-how. I like that. God's supernatural know-how. And for years I heard that we can't know the things of God. That they're higher. You know, if you go back to the Old Testament and meditate there, you'll see that, well, we can't know the higher things of God, but we're not still under the old covenant. Amen? We now have the Spirit of God living inside of us. We can know, and God wants you to know. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, there's so much good here. Kind of hard to know where to start. Let's look at verse 7. In him, so how many in hims do we have here tonight? I see most of you are. That would be the born again believer. In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. Thank you, Jesus. The forgiveness of sins, thank you, Lord, according to the riches of his grace. We know that it's we're saved by grace through our faith, our response to his grace. Verse 8, which he made, God made, to abound where? Toward us in all wisdom and prudence, in all wisdom and understanding. I think that's, let's look at that in the Amplified. Verse 7, in him we have redemption, deliverance, and salvation through his blood, the remission or forgiveness of our offenses, the shortcomings and trespasses, in accordance with the riches and the generosity of his gracious favor. I was listening to a minister this morning on television, and he was somebody that you'd probably think was always talking about the love of God and the grace message and whatnot. But he was talking about love this morning, and he was talking about grace simply means you made it in. That's what that means. It's the grace of God. We had nothing to do with it. It's by the grace of God we got in. And now that we got in, we should want to live right. We should want to turn away from sin. So grace is not a license to sin. Grace is us realizing, whew, I'm in, but now because I'm in and he's such a good, good God, I want to live right before him. And when you find out the goodness of God and as it reveals itself to you in your life, you just want to get gooder and gooder at living for him. And so here we see that in verse 7, in accordance with the riches and the generosity of his gracious favor, which he lavished upon us in every kind of wisdom and understanding, practical insight and prudence, or understanding. Understanding, prudence is really having the understanding to understand the wisdom of God. So his wisdom, God's wisdom, can be understood by you and me. Why? Because we're his kids. Things in the kingdom of God are not hard to receive. They're not hard to understand. We just simply have to want to know. If you want to know, God will show you. If you want the Spirit of God to reveal things to you, he will reveal them to you. All for the asking. That's how simple it is. That's why a five-year-old child can receive the things of God and at their hands do miracles. Because their hearts are pure. And they genuinely want. They genuinely trust. Little kids trust their parents until they, you know, until the parents give them enough times over and over and over in this life to make them distrust them. But they're born trusting them, you know. When they're held like a little baby, you don't drop them on the floor. They totally trust. And so that's where we need to get with our Heavenly Father. So go back to Proverbs chapter 1. I just want to look at it once more in the Amplified. In the King James, New King James says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Amplified says it this way, that people may know skillful and godly wisdom and instruction, discern and comprehend the words of understanding and insight. I'll read that again. That people may know, this is to know wisdom, to understand wisdom, to know skillful and godly wisdom and instruction, discern and comprehend the words of understanding and insight. And I would say that you're going to receive that in your spirit man first. Before it comes to your, oh, I get that, and now I know how to apply it. God does everything on the inside of us first. When you got born again, your spirit man, out with the old, in with the new, before anything. And now God, that's how healing comes. It's when you get it in here, not up here. It's when you get it in your spirit. That's how all of God's things, all of the goodness, all of the promises that we are to receive from him. We're going to have to receive them by faith, and that's in our spirit, man. We receive by our spirit, not by our mental intellect. That's why it's so difficult. A few weeks ago, I had somebody come forward for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he proceeded to tell me that, well, I received it years ago, but I never, spoke in tongues. And he said, I don't know if I really received it. He was like questioning. I said, no, you received it. I said, you got to get your mind out of the way. That's the best way I know how to explain receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just get your mind out of the way. Well, that's hard to do, isn't it? Because we're always thinking with our mind. And so it's hard to just turn it off. But you do need to turn it off and turn this on. And when you do, and when he did that, it began bubbling up. Kathy, I think you were there. Began bubbling up, he began speaking. He had wanted that for, I don't know how many years it had been, but it was simply a matter of stop trying to get it up here. Don't get it up here, get it in here. And that's how you can receive a miracle. It's conceived in our spirit, man. Amen. All right, so let's move on. God's word is his wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. And when we're talking about God's wisdom, we're talking about supernatural ability. It's know-how. So it's knowing how to take God's word, God's promises, and apply them to our life supernaturally. Again, we're talking supernatural here, not man's carnal wisdom. And so turn with me over to James. James has some things to say about it in chapter 3. Let's go there first. He had just given quite a dissertation on the tongue and how that little member can really set some forests on fire, so to speak. Drop down to verse 13. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? He's asking a question. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. So there's many types of wisdom. Tonight we're talking about God's wisdom, the supernatural wisdom of God. Because, and look how in verse 13 says, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. That tells me, see, meekness, that's one of God's attributes. That doesn't mean weakness, not meekness. Okay? And so he goes on to say, if you find these things, bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts, this wisdom does not descend from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and demonic. Verse 16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So you can be sure if there's confusion in the situation, you don't have God's wisdom on it. Okay? Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above, say above, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. You notice good fruits. Jesus talked about good fruits, didn't he? I think it's Matthew 12. He also talked about bad fruits. He said, a good man brings forth good things out of the goodness of his heart, and an evil man brings forth evil things, evil fruit. But here we see that this wisdom that's from above, God's wisdom, is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. A lot of those attributes we see there in verse 17 are the fruit of the Spirit of God, which would only make sense that God's wisdom is going to what? Look like God. God's answers are always going to look like him. That's why when we see miracles, we say, wow, it's a miracle. Well, yes, that's the way God does things. But do you know his word teaches us that we can do things his way? Jesus said we would do the very works that he did. But we're going to have to do them his way. We're going to have to get his wisdom on it. And so we're talking again about the supernatural wisdom of God. Turn back to James chapter 1. James talks about wisdom here. Now we're just going to start in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I know that's your favorite verse. You don't have to withhold from hollering and shouting. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And again, we know here in this group, you've been here long enough, every one of you, that patience is not like what the traffic control down at Logan Airport would say, just keep circling around. And so patience isn't us just circling around in life while the devil beats our brains out. That's not patience. Patience is a spiritual force that comes alongside of your faith. It keeps you in faith so that you can go through and not just endure the pressure of the problem, but really it takes you high above the problem. It takes you right through it and you come out unscathed. It might be a fiery trial, but you're not going to smell like smoke when you come out of there. Just like those three Jewish boys. got thrown in the furnace. They came out, and in the, you know, God's word even shows us they didn't even smell like smoke. There wasn't even a singe on them. And so that's how you and I should go through our trials and our tribulations in life. We shouldn't come out all beat up and tore up and, you know, like those fellas that weren't spirit-filled, seven sons of Sceva. Man, they're trying to use what we have available to us to use, and they got the snot beat out of them, tore off all their britches. Because they didn't. You know, those demons spoke up and said, well, Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know, but who are you? You got no authority here. You ain't telling me what to do, but we all can. So let patience, verse 4, have its perfect work, that you might be perfect or mature and complete, lacking nothing. That sounds good. Complete and lacking nothing. Verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, it's only been in the last couple of years that I made the connection here that verse 5 follows verse 4 and verse 3, that he says, if you need wisdom, let him ask of God. When did this happen? Right after it talks about the trials you're going through. So when you go through trials and tribulation, you're going to need supernatural wisdom of God to get you through it. And he says here, ask for the wisdom. Don't be stupid or not stupid, but lacking knowledge. We understand. So we should ask when we're going through situations, ask the Lord, what is it here? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to approach this? And he'll bring you the answer. It might come directly from him into your spirit. It might come through a person. If it's an answer in the natural, maybe at your job, at your business, you need something. He'll bring somebody and bring you right into your work with the answer. Or it could be he gives you an answer to take to your work for that, whatever it is that's going on. So he says, let him, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all gingerly. Just a little bit. Just a speck. No, liberally. And without reproach, and it will be given to him. If you ask, you will receive. Conditional though, verse 6 is the condition. You must ask in faith. You must ask in faith. So you better understand how to ask in faith. With how much doubting? No doubting. Just because you're going through a trial, just because you're having tribulation, just because you don't know the answer, doesn't mean you have to freak out. Doesn't mean you have to waver. He goes on to say that if you're not asking in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave. He gives us an illustration of what that looks like. The wave comes in and the wave stops and it crashes and you're just being tossed back and forth by the waves. He says, let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. You cannot waver. And you want the answer, don't you? How many want the answer? How many want God's answer on the situation? Too frequently, Christians will try to figure stuff out on their own, and sometimes for a long period of time before they finally realize, man, I just can't figure this out. When if we'd go to the Lord first, that's the way he's designed us to live. For him to come to him first. What does it say over in, we look at this every time we go to Proverbs 3, when it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean on into your own understanding. How many of your ways acknowledge him? All of them. So let's go to him for the supernatural first. This once we become born again and spirit-filled, we shouldn't want to do things our old way. And just because we still live in the world, God says we're not of the world anymore. So if we're not of the world, why go to the world's way to find the answer? And that's one of the issues that I see that Christians have, is they're born again, they might even be spirit-filled, but they're still trying to get things done out of the old kingdom system, out of Satan's kingdom, and still trying to, you know, How many ever had a hamster growing up? We had them in our house. I never. Yeah, you had them. And they just run round and round and round on that wheel. They never get anywhere. And that's the proverbial just running your brains out and never accomplishing, never get anywhere. I guess it kept them trim. So they got a little exercise out of it. But anyhow, so we want to ask for wisdom in faith. So we saw in Proverbs that we want wisdom, that it's the supernatural answers that God has for us, but we need to ask him for it because we won't always just know it automatically. Let's go to Proverbs 4, and I want to show you what the word shows you here. Some of the things that you can obtain. Actually, it's chapter 3. We were in chapter 4. Get wisdom, get understanding. And remember, we know in Mark chapter 4, Jesus talked about the understanding being the important part of that, in that when you hear the word, you need to have the understanding of the word. And everybody hears the word, but to those that don't have ears, it's all in parables. Jesus even said that. He says, I talk in parables because only the ones that seek and have ears to hear and purpose to know and understand are going to get it. I'll give it generously to all those that come after me. But for those that just show up because the doors are open and they have no intention of receiving from me, he's not going to waste. He's not going to just give it to everybody. Why? Because if they don't care about it, they're just going to trash it. They're going to try to talk you out of it. They're going to try to get you to doubt it. Because that's what they do. That's why you need to choose your friends very carefully. If they're not men and women of God and men of and women of faith, then you don't want them speaking into your life. You don't want that counsel. We read earlier that we want wise counsel. And so we want to be mindful of that. All right, Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Right there, getting God's wisdom in your life will add years to your life. With peace. With peace. Don't want to live to be 120 and be fretting and have anxiety attacks every day. That would not be fun. Just take me home, Lord. You know, if that's what I had to go through, I'd say, no, I'm checking out now. All right, verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you or leave you, abandon you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. So you're going to find high value and high respect. And you're going to find the favor of God when you keep the word of God close to you. It says bind it around your neck. Well, he's not literally telling you to write it on a tablet and string it up so everybody can see it. No, put it on the inside of your heart. Okay? So we'll quickly, I have them numbered. So number one, we'll give you long life, God's wisdom. I think drop down to verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Length of days is in her right hand. Who's her? The word of God, the wisdom of God. So long life, number one. Number two we saw was peace. I think verse 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness and all her paths are peace. How many of the paths? All of them. You can't go wrong when you're following the word of God or the wisdom of God. And he's told us to seek after it. Seek after it and what? Seek understanding of it. So he wants us to understand. All right, let's keep on going. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean on unto your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He's going to do what? Direct your paths. So number 3 was favor. Number 4 is direction. How many have needed direction at some point in your life? We all have. Well, he's saying here, you draw on the wisdom of God and he will direct your paths. He will give you direction. I think if you drop down to verse 23 quickly, it says, Then you will walk safely in your way. That sounds like protection. And your foot will not stumble. Well, that's giving you good direction. You're not going to fall flat on your face. All right. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Verse 7. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So there's some healing in the Word of God right there to you. You can get healed on that. You bring that into your heart and you meditate on it. You can say, Lord, I'm receiving health to my flesh because I'm hiding your word in my heart. Verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. And what happens when you do that? Your barns will be filled with plenty, or your capital and sufficiency, from your righteous labors. And it says your storage places will be filled with plenty. So there's what? Finances. The wisdom of God will bring finances to you. How about that? Your vats will overflow with new wine. Verse 11, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction by the word of God. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Well, God wants you to have his wisdom on a situation. If you don't have his wisdom, he may correct you by showing you in the word where you're in error. He's not doing it to beat you down. He's doing it to get you off the error path and back onto the straight and narrow path so he can direct your paths. He does it because he loves you. Just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Verse 13. So what did we say? We're up to number 6 is finances. 5 was healing. 5 was healing. Everybody got long life? 1. Peace is 2. Favor is 3. Direction for your life is 4. Healing is number 5. 6 would be finances. All right, let's go to number 7. Verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. There's happiness right there. You need happiness? Get into God's word. Find his wisdom. And happiness shows up. And the man who gains understanding. So happy is the man who finds wisdom. Happy is the man who gains understanding. God does not want us to be in the dark about anything. He wants us to know. Okay, so verse 7 is happy and blessed. Verse 14, let's go on. For her proceeds. So there are proceeds by gaining the wisdom of God. They're better than the profit of silver and her gain than fine gold. Why? Because the wisdom of God can show you how to attain those things. If you need those things in your life, God's wisdom will show you how to make that show up in your life. Verse 15. She's more precious than rubies. Again, talking about the word of God or the wisdom of God. And all the things that you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. We already looked at verse 16 for length of days, for you having a longer life. In her left hand, riches and honor. Riches and honor. You can have riches and you can still have honor in your life. God will honor you when you do things his way. And that's what the wisdom of God is. It's the supernatural know-how of handling riches. It's the supernatural know-how of handling his word. So, verse 8, number 8, happy and blessed was number 7. Number 8 is profitable. Let's go on. Verse 17. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. How about that? When we find the wisdom of God, when we find God's counsel on something, it's going to be pleasant for us. And all her paths are peace. There's another peace scripture. So number 9 would be pleasant and happiness. We're up to number 9 here, and these are all good things. These are all good things that we would desire, and they're all found in the Word of God. They're all found in the wisdom of God. All right, verse 18, she, or the word of God, or the wisdom of God, is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Again, the law of reciprocals, if you don't take hold of the word of God, it can't be that anchor. It can't be that tree of life. That's why I've said before, Psalm 91 is only for those who truly abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's not just to be recited and say, well, I've got the protection now. No, if you don't abide there, you don't get that protection. Don't kid yourself into thinking you can quickly read a scripture before you run into a situation and God, that's going to make God do something. That doesn't make God do anything. He says to qualify, you have to abide there. You have to live there. That's a good word right there. Again, God says that because he loves us and he wants us to know and follow him the right way. Not to just think we can religiously read our daily reading and now my day is all set. No, it's not. If you don't apply God's word to your heart and to your situation by faith, then nothing happens. We have to do it by faith. Faith works by love. You can't be a sorry old cuss cursing people out and thinking you're going to be a man or woman full of faith and making things happen. It's not going to be. Don't kid yourself. That was worth coming right there. All right, so number 9 was pleasant and happiness. Number 10, walk safely and in protection. Now we get up to verse 19, and it says, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. How about that? By his own wisdom, he established the earth. Do you think he could establish the things in your life that you're going through? Absolutely he can. By getting his wisdom, by understanding, he established the heavens. So this, God's not asking us to do anything he doesn't do. He's giving us a pattern for how he wants us to be. He did that with Adam. He gave him dominion. God is almighty sovereign, but in planet Earth, he gave that over to Adam. And he says, now do things my way. You do things my way. All right. Verse 20, by his knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. Verse 19 and 20 are just showing us the pattern how God does things. Verse 21, now he comes back and says, my son, let them not depart from your eyes. What? His wisdom, his word. We've got to, if you want God's wisdom and counsel on a situation, find it in his word. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Look at 22. They will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way and your foot will not stumble. There's protection again. There's peace. Not stumbling, that would be peace. Verse 24, when you lie down, you'll not be afraid. So now here we have protection from fear. He says you won't be afraid when you lie down. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. You cannot put a price on having sweet sleep and having peace of mind in your life. You know, yes, you might be going through a situation with your kids or your grandkids running amok a little bit. But you know what? If you train them up in the way of the Lord, you can stand firmly on that scripture. Don't be moved by how bad it looks in the natural. Be moved by what the word of God says. I can stand in the counsel of God, in the wisdom of God, and I can apply it to my life, my family's life, and I can know that it's going to work. And so I don't have to have fear. We sang tonight about, you know, not letting fear. What was the name of the song? Well, you all forgot the song. What is it? No longer slaves. Yeah, no longer slaves to fear. We don't have to be, ever. Economy gets bad, don't have to be slaves. You know, they say the Ooga Booga flu's coming this fall. Don't have to be slaves to that. Don't have to receive it. Just turn that TV set off. Say, it's not coming near my dwelling. See, Psalm 91, if you're abiding where you're supposed to abide and you're applying God's wisdom to your life, that Ooga Booga thing can't come to you. I mean, just a couple years ago, they had one that had people in so much fear. And they started, my goodness, in April, come get your flu shots, you know? And you could get them on the side of the road. That's real credible. A bicycle with a little nurse, Red Cross sticker on it. Get your shots here. It's like, I question that. You know, get them early. Your doctor's out on the golf course. Come here. You know, no. I'll dwell under the shadow of God himself. And I'll keep his statutes. I'll keep covenant, my covenant with him. I'll stay right. I'll apply these scriptures to my life. And when I do, I get his benefits. You see, the wisdom of God, the supernatural know-how of God, when you know how God does things, you can see how he does things, now you can know how to do them. He wants to reveal that to you. Let's go over to Ephesians 1. I'll show you what I mean. Are we done? We're not done here. We're almost done in Proverbs 3. When you lie down, you'll not be afraid. Your sleep will be sweet. Verse 25, don't be afraid of sudden terror. Just because the news says this sudden thing's coming, don't be afraid. Nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence. There's your confidence right there. He'll keep your foot from being caught. How does your foot get caught? You put it in your mouth. You stick it in your mouth and you start speaking what all the other bad things are. That's how you get your foot caught. I ought to write that right there beside that. But that's how it happens. You begin agreeing. Oh, the calamity's coming. It's coming near my dwelling. Well, then you're not abiding. Abiding says, I'm gonna trust God and I'm gonna let his words abide in me. And I'm gonna let his words come out of me and only his words. Proverbs 4:1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father. Give attention to no understanding. So you get understanding. Give attention to no understanding. And we're going to go to Ephesians and I'm going to show you. God wants you to know and understand things. Verse 8 in chapter 4 says, exalt her and she will promote you. And there's more in here, but we're going to stop right there for tonight. But you can get promotion with the wisdom of God in the situation. You don't have to be the most qualified to get that promotion. You just need to get the Holy Spirit. If God wants you to have that thing, you don't have to be more qualified. I've heard of situations where people don't even have the degrees that they say in the ad and they get the job. Why? Because they trusted God. They come in and say, look, I don't have this degree, but I'm here, and I know I can do that job, and I know I can do it. You have the confidence. You come in with be prayed up and be confident. You get that job. You can know you can have that job. You don't have to. Just because they said that, well, just somebody wrote that ad. Yeah, maybe the manager said we want them to have a bachelor's degree, but that don't mean squat. That doesn't mean you have to. Amen. All right, where'd they tell you to go? Ephesians. We're going to close right up. I just wanted you to see Ephesians somewhere. We'll get there. I'll tell you when I get there. We looked at Ephesians 1. And we looked at verses 7 and 8. I want you to drop down now to verse 15, just for time's sake. I love this whole chapter. But therefore, I also, this is Paul speaking, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. So right there, there's a qualifier for these people. Okay? Do not cease. You know, sometimes we read over stuff and we just miss a lot of what God's trying to tell us. Love is very important in God's book, okay? That's what wrote the book. That's what the book is all about, love. So I do not cease, verse 16, to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He wants you to have the knowledge of him, because when you have the knowledge of him and how he does things, you're going to know how to do things. We need to have a relationship with Jesus and get to know him and not a doctrine of a church or a doctrine that we even see in the Word. Get the relationship with him. Get to know him. You'll know how to do and operate in your life. That's how we get to know how to do things God's way, is by getting to know him. How do we do that? By getting to know him by his word. Then you'll get his wisdom. Remember, we stopped and we saw two scriptures there where it said God established these things by his wisdom. By his understanding, he established this. So when we do things God's way, it will work for us. In the situations that we face in our earthly life here, he wants to give us supernatural know-how to handle your situation here on planet Earth. He knows that the enemy is still a running amok around. He knows you're up against things at work and with your family and relationships and whatnot. He wants you to know how he handles things so he can show you how to handle them, how you can get through them in peace. It says that he'll give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Look at verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The eyes of your understanding are going to be enlightened. What happens when light comes on a scene? Things are illuminated, or revelation knowledge comes, is what he's talking about here. That you might know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? There's a qualifier. You have to believe. Now I'm going to read this in the Amplified. Verse 17, for I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into the mysteries and the secrets, in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. There, right there, he reveals to us he wants us to know. He does not want us to keep in the dark. And you know, if you turn on Christian radio, and I'm not knocking it, or turn on Christian television, just because it says it's Christian doesn't mean, because I hear that a lot, that people will tell other people and tell audiences that you can't know the things of God. Well, right here, we just see that he wants to reveal it to us. So which is right? God's word? Don't go back to the old covenant. We're not there. That's going to show us things, but here we want the new covenant working for us. Amen? That he might grant to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into the mysteries and secrets, in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. Verse 18, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light. That doesn't sound like he's withholding. He wants them to be flooded with light so that you can know and understand the hope to which he's called you and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe. There's the qualifier. As demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength. And he goes on to say, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That's the same power that's inside of you. So we should be able to get through our situations here on earth in this life. I don't care what the tribulation is or what the trial is. We should be able to get through it with the knowledge and understanding we've got the victory. That's why I say a lot, we start from a position of victory. Got a problem? Okay, that problem is so that we can overcome it. You got an impossibility? You're spirit-filled and you're designed to take the supernatural power and wisdom of God and turn that impossibility into a possibility. And that's how we run. We run with the one that said, light be. We run with the one that gave us, you know, all the heavens and the earth and gave us the Spirit of God himself inside of us. We run with him. We can't lose. Stand to your feet. Well, there's no way we can lose. Glory to God. Father, we give you thanks for your wisdom. Father, give us, you said to ask for wisdom. So I'm asking you tonight to give us more wisdom. and to give us understanding that goes along with it so that we would know. Father, everyone here tonight has some situation facing them right now. I would just ask that everybody would think of some situation that they want God to work on their behalf, to intervene, to give them an answer. Right now, Father, I just ask you to give them the wisdom tonight. Give them the wisdom as they leave here tonight. Father, as they lay their head on their pillow tonight, that answers would begin to come and flood their minds, flood the inside of their spirit, and it would just take off, and that you'd guide them, you'd direct them, you'd lead them into victory. Father, we thank you. We didn't just come out tonight to just hear a few good words and give us a tingle. No, Father, we want results. We want your answers. We want you on the scene of our life. So, Father, may tonight there be breakthroughs in the lives of every person under the sound of my voice. Father, that means that something has to break off that the enemy has put on us. Break off, whether it's a financial situation, whether it's a physical health situation. Those things must break off and leave us in the name of Jesus. We draw on the wisdom of God, the power of God, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Father, we draw on that right now and apply it to the situation in our life right this minute. Father, we thank you for the victory. You lead us into victory. We're more than conquerors. We're overcomers. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Be blessed.